Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today I have an exciting show on, one I'm very much looking forward to. I think this last 9 months or so has been challenging for everybody, emotionally, physically. And for those of us who have pets in our homes, we're blessed because these are little creatures that, you know, they're part of our family. They give us just unconditional love. And I'm sure I would have had a harder time getting through everything that we've dealt with without my pet. And at one point, I think we were told that we needed to not have our pets because they might transmit COVID. And I think that meme stopped very quickly because there was a huge pushback from people who have pets who are like, not going to have it. And today I have a really an important show and an interesting guest, Ms. Ginny Brandon. And she is the founder of Soul Pet Connections. And it is a unique business that she runs because it helps pet owners connect with their pets. And we've all had issues where they have behavior issues and or they're grieving. There's a ton of different things that pets do. And I wanted to have her come on because I wanted to understand more about my pet and to help people who have pets or want to get pets to let them know that this is not just the pet. This is a living creature that can actually help you. And there's energy that gets shared. So, Ms. Brandon, I want to thank you so much for coming on because I'm looking forward to our conversation. And full disclosure, I want to use your services. I think it can benefit everybody to have a connection energetically with another living, loving creature. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure. I really appreciate the opportunity to share what I do and how I support pets and people together.
Well, how did you start this? This is a very unique endeavor. You know, it's not just sitting for pets. It's not just taking care of them. This is a deeper connection, isn't it?
Yeah. So I am doing this work because I had problems with my pets. That's really what it boils down to. I did not grow up with animals, but I knew that I always wanted to be around them. I read every horse book I could get my hands on. I was always drawing them. So I was always drawn to animals and wanted that connection. And so when I became an adult, I ended up with two dogs. And their behavior is what eventually led me to working with an animal communicator. And it was through that work that I sort of tripped and stumbled down the path and have ended up now being able to support other people doing this work. So it was my struggles that really led me to being able to share this with other people because I don't want other people to go through the things that I've gone through with my dogs and my horse and my cats and all my other animals.
You know, I've heard people say, you know, I don't subscribe to this, that no, pets are, they don't have feelings or they don't have souls and just weird stuff that people have said in the past. And I don't subscribe to that. What's your thought on that?
I do not agree with that either. I mean, my experience has shown me that our pets not only have their own feelings and thoughts about the world around them, but that they can feel very deeply and have deep relationships and connections, not only with us, but with other pets in the household. You know, they can be very empathetic and they respond to us directly. So yeah, I don't really understand how anyone can have that kind of a view that's just very limited, in my opinion. It doesn't allow for a lot of exploration. And I think it limits our own connection to things if we think that.
I would agree. There's something about empathy and compassion. And you can speak to each other as humans, but there's a deeper connection when you can't communicate with, I mean, we do, but it's not quite the same, right? What was the first thing that led you to feel that the pets are trying to communicate with you? And how does an average person get to that level? I know it's a hard question and it's kind of loaded, but I'm just curious.
Yeah. So I don't think I ever had a time where I didn't believe that pets and animals, you know, had their own thoughts, had their own feelings. I think it was just sort of a thing that I knew inside from even from being a child and not having a lot of opportunities to be around them. And so really, I also believe that any one of us can do this. It's a matter of being dedicated and being open to it and practicing. Mm-hmm. Our pets, this is how they communicate with each other. You know, so why would we as humans not have this ability? We're animals. We're made of the same stuff they are. So I have a sort of a bigger belief that the whole world is kind of connected like this. The universe is connected like this. And so it's just a matter of practice and dedication. What can be tricky with our own animals is that we're very close to them, you know? And so sometimes that makes it harder to have a clear connection with them. But yet at the same time, as a pet owner, you know your pet better than anybody. You know your pet better than me. So even if you're hiring me, I expect that you would take the information I give you and be able to discern what really does apply. And that's my goal, is to work with you and with the knowledge that you have, and then bring in a little more knowledge from the pet so that we can, you know, make some headway, get a little more clear communication, and resolve any challenges or problems that you might be having.
And when you communicate, you know, you're all saying that we can do it because we're all energy, essentially, right? And we share that energy with other living creatures, whether that's plant or animal, I think. So is this something that... it's about speaking to them? It's about spending time with them? Is it a mixture of all of that and just looking at their behavior? If everybody can do it, what's the first thing that we need to harness to start the process?
Yeah, it is a mixture of all of those things. And really, I would say the biggest key to being able to receive the information is being quiet enough that there's room. That there's room for other things to come in. And then the second piece of that is knowing, well, I would say learning to discern what's your thoughts and what's other thoughts and other things that are the other information that's coming in. And a lot of times it takes practice. I think all of us are intuitive on a certain level. You know, I've had some kind of funny experiences where I've had these thoughts that have popped into my head and it was like, wait a minute, what was that? And it's different than my everyday run of the mill brain chatter. And so it's learning to discern what is your normal brain chatter versus what is something else. And that something else, that can be, you know, information, intuitive information, but it could be information from pets or animals around you. It could be information from all sorts of different sources. So it's a matter of learning the difference so that you can start discerning what's coming in.
I don't think we, as a society, spend a lot of time with introspection and quiet time. There's always something pulling at us, the cell phone, the text, the TV. And I think that's a really wonderful way to put it. Have space to connect with yourself. Because if you can't connect with yourself, I would think that you can't connect with your pet either.
Yeah, you're very right. If you don't make room for something else and you don't know yourself well enough in the first place, then it will be very hard. It will be very challenging. But we have a tendency, like you said, you were pulled in so many different directions constantly. There's constant input from external sources, you know, that's bombarding us all the time. Our phones are going off. There's, you know, TVs are on, radios are on, there's lights. Like everything is always, you know, flashing in our faces, and we have to consciously choose something different now. But our pets are always present. You know, they're always in the moment, and that's kind of a beautiful thing that we can use their support to bring us back to this moment, you know, not pulled away by the phone or the TV or whatever, mm-hmm. and, you know, really be present with them. That's one of the biggest gifts they give us, is just reminding us, pulling us back to now. It's not the future. It's not the past. It's not somewhere else. It's right now. What's here in front of us?
That's a great way to stop, because I think that's what we all need. I think we'd be less fearful, less emotionally just driven by things that that are outside of us if we could just be in the moment. On that note, let's take our first break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Ms. Ginny Brandon, and she is the owner of Soul Pet Connections. And you can go to their website, soulpetconnections.com, or their Facebook page at Soul Pet Connections. And she's a coach, and she's also just a really intuitive human. And I think that's what you just distill down, what we all need to, I think, aspire to. It's not your job. It's not your skin color. It's not all these things that are foisted on you that people say make you you. It's your ability to look within, I think. And that's the one thing I find with my pet and all the pets that I've had. It's just when you're spending that time with them, you're not anywhere else. You're not engaging in other mental activities. You're just enjoying the moment. And if you don't have moments where you feel good about yourself and your environment, how do you survive, in my opinion? Because it's just so negative, especially these last few months. You need some respite. And I've always found my pets to be that way. Even when I'm sick, they come, they just give you love. It's just an amazing, energetic, positive experience.
Yeah, I know that has always been my desire in having pets, and I would say that's most people's goal. I mean, let's not even kid. Pets are a lot of work. You know, it's a whole nother extra layer of things to do and be responsible for. So why do we sign up for that? You know, what's the reason that we would go out of our way to make more work for ourselves? And I think it's the connection. You know, that's what I appreciate about my pets is they want to be with me. And, you know, part of why I do the work that I do is I had struggles with my dogs where they were fighting. And through the work of an animal communicator who became a mentor of mine, and through the work of a number of other mentors of mine, I realized that it was my own anxiety and my own disconnection from the moment that was part of why my dogs were fighting. So I was influencing their behavior because my stress was stressing them out. They cared. That was what it was, is they really cared about me and they were trying to support me, but they're dogs. So they were trying to support me in the only way that they understood how. And, you know, that's why I do the work I do, is because I want people to have easy relationships with their pets and I want them to be happy. And sometimes when we're stressed out, you know, we don't even know it, I think. I think most of us function on a level where we have a certain amount of anxiety and a certain amount of stress that's constant. Mm-hmm. And so learning to work with that and be real about it, you know, my pets have always led me back to being a better human and dealing with my own baggage better, because they don't let me put up with it. You know, they don't let me just stuff it away. So, that's why I do what I do. And that's why I think I have pets, because I love that they're always making me be a better human. It's hard, but it's why I love it.
Well, it's honest, isn't it? There's no ulterior motives. There's nothing. They're just there and it's just clean.
Yeah.
And you know, you can see this throughout society where you have the prisoners who work with dogs. You know, there's a show on, I think it's one of the cable stations. And you know, they learn empathy. They learn love, because it's unconditional. There's nothing that's hidden about it. And I've also seen senior citizens, you know, I think it's in Norway, where they have a program where the seniors, they teach kittens how to socialize cats or kittens. And you have people who didn't speak, who are now speaking, their depression is gone. I mean, all these positive things, that it's just pure, just sharing positivity and getting love back unconditionally. I think it would just cut out so much negativity in our society if we could have that level of empathy. And I think pet owners, for the most part, you know, we're blessed that we get to do that. And people who don't like pets or don't want them or afraid of them, they're just missing out, in my opinion.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. And I think you said it, that the pets, there's an honesty there. Like, there's an absolute purity and honesty of how they're feeling and how they're showing up in the world. And, you know, when, like you said, like working with the inmates, the dogs are inadvertently teaching them skills that they were lacking. And when the inmate gets it right, the dog is immediately going to respond. Mm-hmm. You know, they're immediately going to give them that unconditional love. There's no holdout. There's no story about, well, yesterday you didn't do it perfect, so today I'm not going to be, not going to cooperate as much. You know, they instantly shift when we get it right. And that was the thing I saw with my dogs, is the fighting stopped when I started getting myself right. And so their support and feedback is, it's instant and it's huge. You know, and then you're rewarded with more love and more joy and more fun. And, you know, that's what my goal is. That's where I want to be, right? I want to be having fun.
Exactly. That's what life should be. It shouldn't be about struggle. And when you're thinking intellectually and you're not feeling, you know, just emanating your, what makes you you, and it gets cut off in some way, I think that's very damaging to people. And not being able to have contact and share connections. We're already getting bombarded with that, with the mask wearing and all the staying at home situation. And I, honestly, I don't know how people could survive really healthy, you know, and remain healthy intellectually, emotionally, without something that is unconditional. And I would hope that, that people who have now hopefully are coming out from their quarantining can actually get to where you and I are and other pet owners, because it's a world of color as opposed to a world that's black and white, in my opinion.
Yeah, I know that I had seen a number of pieces of information about the spike in adoptions, you know, especially at the beginning of the pandemic, when people were suddenly at home and they, you know, were not able to go out and socialize and do things they normally did. There was a large wave of adoptions of people suddenly deciding that they wanted to get a pet. I think it was driven by that need for connection. And then that combined with the fact that people's schedules suddenly were no longer the same. They no longer had the obligations they had. So it's possible to work at home with a dog, especially in the beginning, you know, when you're getting to know a pet, there's a lot more work because you're developing communication together, you're developing a routine. And being at home, you can do that. You can go out, you know, for a 5-minute break in the middle of your day if you want with the dog. And so, yeah, there was definitely a spike of people seeking out that connection, you know, with pets, because we were unable at the time to do it effectively with people. Now, I think that there's anything that the pandemic has shown us is it's how much connection we really do need. I feel like we had sort of stumbled down this path of choosing not to connect necessarily. We were always on our phones, we're watching TV. You know, you go out to a restaurant and you see, you know, 4 people at a table and 2 or 3 of them are on their phone. Like,
I know, yeah.
You know, but now that we've had this pandemic where we truly could not go out and connect, we realize how much we really do need it.
We all do. I mean, and you have to have transfer of energy. I mean, it just makes you more vibrant. It's a learning experience. It helps you with empathy. I think empathy and compassion are 2 emotions that are really important for health, for physical health, don't you? I mean, from a medical standpoint, the people who I've taken care of, who have a good feeling about, you know, they love themselves, they love humanity, they just do better than the people who are, lack of a better way to put it, they're black holes. Everything's negative. No matter what you do, there's a bad problem. You know, there's something bad associated with it. They don't heal as quickly. They don't respond to treatment as well. So there has to be something really from a cellular level and that connects to the emotion and the soul, I think.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And in relation to our pets pick up on that kind of energy. Not that that means that we should sugarcoat everything, because sometimes things are bad, you know, I mean, being forced to stay at home and not see family members and other people, that sucks. Like, there's no 2 ways around it. But that being said, if we get stuck in the wallowing in that and we don't look for other ways to do things that are valuable to us, like Zoom family Thanksgiving calls or, you know, other ways to connect with each other, then, you know, yeah, you're gonna sink down in a hole. Mm-hmm. And our pets can get drugged down in those holes with us. I mean, we are our whole world to our pets. Like, they don't have anything else. They can't take a vacation from us. They can't, you know, they don't get the choice. I mean, if we leave for work, that's nice. They get a break, but they're still in our house with our stuff and our energy is still there. And so mm-hmm. when we go through stressful situations, you know, they're sitting in that energy with us. And that's why I feel like it's very important to make sure that we're doing what we need to do to process our own energy. And I now use my pets as a bit of a barometer to tell me how I'm doing. Because I know when they start having behavior problems, the first thing I do is check with myself. And like, what, how am I doing? Am I actually doing as good as I think I am? Or am I just telling myself that? You know, and so that they're right there with us and they're feeling it with us and making sure that we're doing what we need to do in support of them and in support of ourselves is huge.
I think you're right. And I know we're going to take a break in a minute, but I want to talk about the flip side when the pet is ill or if you have an illness or people who have, you know, children who have problems with developmental issues and how the pet can really be a treatment option in some senses to help communicate with the child or help you deal with grief. So on that note, we're going to take our second break and come back. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Miss Ginny Brandon and we were talking before the break about how pets help us in terms of happiness and joy and energy, but life has a lot of ups and downs and grief is one of them. We've all at some point are going to lose our pets. And if they're ill, that's a whole nother ball game. And I want to touch base or start with that and then talk about what it's like for a pet of someone who has a catastrophic illness. But let's start with the pet first, because it's a hard thing to watch your pet be ill, and it's hard to, you don't want them to be in pain. And is that something that, if, is it some of that service that you offer for people who have pets with chronic illness or, God forbid, something that's life-threatening? Is that something that you can help pet owners with as part of your service?
Yeah, absolutely. Those are great questions, because you're right. I mean, pets generally don't live nearly as long as we do. And so at some point, we're going to have to encounter aging. I think our culture does not do a very good job dealing with aging. And that makes it hard to deal with an aging pet. But what is incredible to me is that our pets are so much more graceful about aging and illness than we are. They constantly blow my mind with how at ease they are with changes that come when they age. And we tend to resist it. You know, I mean, we associate good health and vibrancy with youth. And then we think that when that's gone, it's gone and we're no longer useful or worth it. And we tend to get very emotional when we are confronted with a situation where we have an ailment or an illness or whatever. There's a big emotional response that we have. And the beautiful thing is that we can learn from our pets is they don't have the emotion that's attached to the thing, the physical thing that's going on with them. So they may be in some pain or they may not be able to do things as well as, you know, like jumping on the bed. They might not be able to jump up there anymore or jump it on the couch, whatever. But mm-hmm. we get upset and emotional about it. We're like, oh, they can't, you know, they're not able to go where they used to go. And they used to love doing that so much. And they're like, well, I can't go where I used to go. So that's all right. You know, they don't have the emotional connection to the body and physical ability the way that we do. And it's a beautiful thing because it frees them up to just experience whatever they're experiencing because there's no lack at that point. It's just different.
And that's a different way to look at it.
Yeah, it's so cool because, you know, so they might not be able to do something one day. Well, okay, but the next day, maybe they can. And I think we get so emotionally wrapped up in illnesses and ailments that it ends up that in a way, we make it harder on ourselves because we're busy worrying about what we used to do yesterday that we can't do now, or what might we not be able to do ever again. And the pet's just like, well, I can't do that today. Oh, well.
You know? It's really, you see these where they may have a limb amputated or, you know, the cat might lose an eye and they just bounce right back. And it's like, they're running, they're still joyful. And you see that a lot with, when you watch these shows on TV and you're like, oh my gosh, this is so devastating, but it doesn't seem to, you're right. It doesn't seem to affect them the same way. They just do what they have to do to keep it moving. That's a really good skill that we need to learn.
Yeah. There's no emotion in it. That's the part to me. I mean, like I said, you know, if we get a diagnosis about something, immediately it starts an emotional response. You know, we're thinking about what we, like I said, what we won't be able to do ever again, what we used to do yesterday, what it's going to mean for us, how it's going to be hard. And they don't have that response, you know, and that's so valuable, I think, because I think it's important to process what we experience, you know, if we're diagnosed with a situation or something. But at the same time, the less overly emotional we can get about it, the easier it'll be. You know, it's just a thing.
I think you're right. You also will heal faster if you don't go down this emotional, devastating hole. Everything just seems to be harder to overcome when you're in that mode.
Exactly. And
for the pets who have a life-threatening illness and you have to make them comfortable and be with them. And I guess it's full circle, right? So instead of you, woe is me, my pet's going, you actually need to be in the moment with them. That's probably the most helpful thing you can do for them, it sounds like.
Yeah, it really is. It is emotional. I mean, I'm not even going to lie. Watching a pet age and slowly no longer be able to function normally, it's hard. It's equally hard to watch a parent age or a family member or a friend, you know, knowing that time is limited. And, but I do believe that I believe our pets have souls, and my personal belief is that I am a soul experiencing life in a human body. So when you have that perspective, it opens up room for more connection. So even though their body may no longer function and they may not be here physically with us, I still believe they're here with us in spirit. And so I believe we have access to that connection still, even once they've passed on. Which is a measure of comfort. That doesn't necessarily mean it's any easier, you know, going through the aging process. But, you know, like if you just stay present, staying present is everything, I think.
I think you're right. And if you, and I do agree with you that I believe pets have souls and you can still, energy doesn't go away. Energy just changes form, right? So if you can expand your thinking and your feeling, then that does mean you can still connect with them, doesn't it? Even if they're gone.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually do sessions specifically for pets that have crossed over. And a lot of pet owners find a lot of peace in being able to reconnect with their pet and, you know, learn how they're feeling now, which is always good. I'll tell you that. They're always feeling good.
That's good.
But, you know, to be able to connect with their essence again. You know, to just feel that. And, you know, there's a lot of stories of, and I experienced this a lot right after my first dog passed away, that I would swear I saw him out of the corner of my eye in the house, you know, or it would feel like he was there, like, and I would turn around and he's of course not. Mm-hmm. And I believe those experiences are not just our imagination. I believe that that's our pet sort of saying, hey, you know, my soul is still here. I'm still connected with you. Like you said, energy doesn't go away. Mm-hmm. It's still there. So, you know, those kinds of experiences, I believe are very real, and it's a good way to be able to reconnect with, a pet that's no longer here in the physical.
No, you made me think for a second. I think it's probably the flip side, when you have a loved one, human, that's in that extreme situation where they're passing, you know, their life is going to be shortened. And the pet actually, I would think, allows them to be in the moment and present as well. Do you think that also occurs? Instead of it being catastrophic emotionally, having a pet with you to connect and help you, you know, be present so that you're able to, with grace, because we're all going to meet this at some point, with grace, go to the next level or go elsewhere. Do you think that also happens?
Yeah. I mean, I honestly feel like being present is the biggest gift that our pets give us. Mm-hmm. No matter where we are in life or what stage we're in, you know, they are able to keep us here in the now. And I think we can do so with more grace, like you said, and a little less judgment when we're able to just be present. So, you know, there's so many stories of animals, you know, with people passing, with animals passing, and just connections that have happened. You know, like I can't not believe, you know, like to me, there's too much evidence of the support that we can all give each other.
I would agree with that. Definitely. You know, I know that I could put it a different way, but you can actually have people call in and give their, you don't have to be with you physically in your location to do that, right? This can be anywhere in the country, right?
Oh yeah, correct. I've actually talked with animals in New Zealand and South Africa. And I think there was, I had a client in Ireland, and I'm US based. So all of my work is intuitive. And it's kind of funny that you say that, because honestly, it's easier to do it when they're not with me, because then there's not a distraction factor. You know, when I'm present with a pet in person, they're, you know, they want to meet me, they want to touch me, they want to, you know, they want to like lovin's and everything. And mm-hmm. I need to be able to get into a very neutral space and a very, you know, mentally be in an open space. So it can be challenging when they're distracting me, but it's all intuitive for me. So I get pictures, I get feelings. Sometimes I get words. The pictures and the feelings are generally what I use the most. And then I take that and I can translate it into something that means something to you and I. You know, pets are not language-based beings. Many of them understand lots of words, mm-hmm. you know, like let's go for a walk or a bath or, you know, car ride. You know, a lot of them understand those words, but they're not language based internally. And so I have to kind of take something that is feeling based and visual based and turn it into words that mean something to the owner, which can sometimes be tricky because their emotions are very, they tend to function on a very subtle level. So it'll be like, I'll get a feeling and it'll be like English is terribly limited, quite frankly, when it comes to things. And I'll have to sort of combine like, well, it's a little of this and a little of that and some of this. And, you know, that's how the pet's feeling. So it can be tricky, but that's everything comes through a mental connection with the pet. So it can be anywhere.
That sounds awesome. On that note, let's take our final break and come back. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living the Solution. We're speaking with Miss Ginny Brandon, and she is the owner of soulpetconnections.com. Again, they have a Facebook page. Do you also have an account on Twitter or any other of these social media platforms?
So that's a great question. Currently, I am also on Instagram, although I am not always as present there as I would like to be. But in addition to the Facebook page, I also have a Facebook group where people can come and join. And then we share all sorts of information. Sometimes I do Q&As, and it's just a great way for me to connect with people and to share what I do and, you know, spread a little more information.
That's awesome. And I don't know, I just have a curiosity about kids with any kind of behavioral issues. Do you have any kind of ability for them to come, or someplace that you can have pets go and they can get the benefit, I should say, of if they don't have a pet themselves, of you coaching or having pets that can work with them?
I don't right now necessarily have anywhere to work in person. I was just about to start doing in-person work when the pandemic hit last spring. So that was rather disappointing, but I think that there is an equal amount of value in learning in this sort of digital world. So that's kind of what I'm moving into at this point. So you don't have to have a pet to join my group or, you know, to come listen to me talk or anything like that. You don't need a pet. All I would want for you to do is love animals, you know, like that's all that I really require. And I think there's a lot that we can learn and benefit from, even if we don't have pets, just because the animals have so much to teach us, in terms of just being better humans, you know, being better beings for each other and for the world. So, it's certainly not a requirement. Just loving animals is really all that is needed. But this coming week, we're actually going to be doing, I'm doing an event in my group where we're going to work through a challenge. So if you're struggling with something with your pets or with your kids and your pets or, you know, multiple pet household or even just one pet, all my problems started with one dog. So, you know, whatever's going on, we're going to kind of work through a challenge, you know, as a group collectively. I think there's a lot of benefit in a group environment for being able to help everyone. You know, like you said, energy isn't ever destroyed. And when you have a collective energy, it's more powerful that way. So we're going to be going, I'll have a live video every day and then some prompts and things to work through to help get past whatever the challenge is that you're working on. So yeah, I think kids can learn a lot from pets. I feel like it's valuable, you know, to have pets in a family when you have children. Again, it's another layer of work. So, I mean, my mom did not allow us to have pets, partly because she was allergic to fur and partly because she always complained that we probably wouldn't take care of them. And she was probably right. So I know that it is another level of, you know, commitment and everything. But, you know, there's other ways. Like most communities have, you know, there's rescues out there that need help. There's veterinary offices that don't mind help. You know, reaching out to anybody local who has some sort of an animal-based business or an organization, they always, you know, I don't know of many animal businesses that will turn down help, you know, so of some kind, at least, you know, most places are happy to have extra hands. And I think that's useful. So shelters and things like that. I think some of our local shelters even want people to just come play with the cats. You know, so you can get some of the benefits of having animals around without having the level of commitment of owning one. So even if you live in an apartment or something, you know, there's ways to go connect with animals if you really want to. So it's a matter of just exploring. I mean, the internet's huge, so you can find anything you want out there.
Well, I think that's a great idea. I love the idea of being able to just play with kittens or puppies. And just you have a smile on your face as soon as you even talk about it. What about the most common things that you find that people need your help with? Is it fighting? Is it between the pet? Is it new babies that the pet feels ostracized? Or what's the thing that you find that's the most common thing that people reach out to you for help for?
So multi-pet households obviously present another layer of challenge because you've got multiple pets that are all need to coexist together. And then if you have kids or other family members, you know, that can get tricky. But I would say that most often the challenges boil down to our approach to whatever the struggle is. And this is one of the problems that I ran into with my dogs, that things got difficult. You know, I had them from when they were puppies, and I had a lab mix who was about 70 pounds, and I had a Shepherd Spaniel mix who was about 35 pounds. And, you know, that's a lot of dog excitement to deal with. I'm not a big person. So when they started to get bigger and it became challenging to take them on walks because they were pulling me and jerking me around and things, I stopped trying, and it got challenging. And then I started to get stuck on the fact that it was hard. And so I ended up not doing those things because they were difficult. And it ended up that many years later, when they were both about, they were about 10 or 11, I moved to a farm that did not have a fenced yard attached to the house. And there were cats in the barn, which my dogs would have run after. There were other dogs on the farm that I didn't want my dogs, you know, chasing or interacting with, and other people and horses that could be around. So I didn't want my dogs loose. So suddenly I was confronted with the fact that they had to learn to walk on a leash because we didn't have a choice. And at 11 years old, my dogs learned to walk on a leash and we could walk all over the farm. They saw geese, they saw horses, they saw other dogs, they saw chickens. Like, it was a whole different experience. And so part of my goal now is to make sure that people get through those hard spots without getting stuck. Like, don't wait 10 years. That was boring and awful. Like, I lived 10 years with dogs I couldn't take anywhere. And that was what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. You know, and so what ends up happening is when something gets challenging, we end up often getting stuck there. I deal with so many people that tell me my dog won't stop barking. You know, all they do is bark and I can't get them to stop. And it's partly because when the behavior starts happening, we get into this pattern where then we start expecting it or anticipating it. And so then the dog picks up on our energy. You know, we end up sort of projecting that out there and the dog picks up on their energy and they think, well, I guess there's something I should be barking at. And then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And so one of my big focuses is helping people work through that because I don't want anybody getting stuck. It's not fun to live with a dog who barks excessively or destroys your things or that you can't take on walks or you can't go out with. Obviously, there's always two sides to everything because the dog has their own personality and we have our own personality. But many times we end up in a sort of like a tape loop where the same thing keeps happening over and over and over again. And the thing is, we're the only thing we can control. We can't control them, truly. We can ask them for things, but it's up to them to cooperate, right? So we have to be the one to initiate that change. You know, you can't sit there and be like, well, the dog's got to stop barking and then I'll do something different. Like, that's not happening, right?
No.
Yeah. So I like to help support people through that so that we can take different steps so that we can get to a different outcome. Because that's not, I mean, it wasn't fun not walking my dogs for 10 years. Like, that wasn't enjoyable.
Yeah. You both missed out. All of you missed out on a lot.
Yeah.
And what about people with cats and cats that we know? They have their own little personalities, especially the girls, especially the tabbies. But for people who want to snuggle, you know, have a closer physical connection with their cat and the cat's looking at you like, I don't think so. Is that something that people also come to you for?
Yeah, those are still problems that can change. And again, we get stuck in this story like my cat doesn't snuggle me. My cat will never snuggle me. And generally, if we work on shifting our energy, eventually there will be some sort of change that we make that our cat will start snuggling me. I had a good friend of mine and I were talking recently, and she said that her cat never used to snuggle her. And then she was doing a lot of self-work and reflection and introspection and, you know, kind of meditating and focusing on herself. And suddenly the cat came and snuggled with her. And a lot of times when we take the pressure off of them and start just focusing on what we're doing, they're going to want to be with us. You know, they're going to want to spend time with us.
And isn't that like everybody though? Like you want to spend time with friends who are positive and fun and energized as opposed to the ones that are woe is me. You don't want to hang out with them either. So why would the pets be any different?
Exactly. You know, and again, I want to stress that this doesn't mean that you can't go through hard things or that things can't be challenging. But when we get stuck there or we don't ever look at doing something different, that's when it'll stay that way. You know, my cat never snuggles me. Well, there you go. you just told the story. And so now it's going to be there. You know, my cat's not snuggling me today. And it's funny. I have two cats. They're siblings and they go through periods of time where one of them will snuggle me a lot and the other one won't. And then they'll switch. And it's like, I never know who's going to be there You know, and sometimes it gets to the point where I'm like, you just need to give me some room. I need space now, you know?
Like, it's never boring.
Yeah. My cat was snuggling me. I was working on the couch on my computer. And every time I moved, you know, my lap or whatever, he's like, gets startled. I'm like, well, if you weren't like jammed under me, you wouldn't be scared every time I move, you know? So, you know, like sometimes the almost the reverse psychology in a way has an effect because mm-hmm. it frees up room for the something else to happen. So yeah, cats can be tricky, but they are it's very possible. I think the thing I find with cats is they're very opinionated. And if you don't respect that opinion, then you're going to end up butting heads with them because they're going to have a thought on how things should be or what the way they want it. And sometimes you have to come to an agreement. You have to meet in the middle. But yeah, I mean, you've got to at least respect and listen to their opinion.
I can vouch for that. Definitely. You know, time goes so quickly. I really enjoyed our conversation. I want people to know, please tell us how they can sign up for the Pet Problems to Peace Challenge. And it's going from February 1st to February 5th, correct?
Yes. Yeah. So I will drop a link for you to make sure that everyone can have access to that. You can sign up through the link, or you can go to my Facebook group, which is, you know, Facebook groups, Soul Pet Connections. And you can also join the group and then sign up through there.
Awesome. I want to thank you so much for coming on today. I really had a blast, and I'm looking forward to my conversation with you about my pets. I think people should also go to your website because they can subscribe to your newsletter, correct?
Yes. Yeah, that's soulpetconnections.com.
Look, thank you so much, Ginny. I look forward to having you back anytime you want, and I look forward to speaking with you further.
Great. This has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on.
It's a pleasure. And thank you, everybody, for living in the solution.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.